여섯 건 됐어요. 쌍렌. 여기서 그 저희 외에 they have landed. Vem äger till landet? Vem äger Sverige? Är det du? Är det jag?
Vi alla.
Vem äger till Sverige?
Ingen.
Ingen? Är det Gud? Jo. Men jag ska prata engelska. I want to say that the land that we live in today, all the lands of all over the whole world, they actually do not belong to God. At one point, they belonged to God. But now, today, God is calling all of us to reclaim the land back. God wants a land that he can call his own. God wants a people he can call his own. So each person that has ears to hear this call can respond. And that's why I like the song Exodus, because God called the Jewish people to reclaim a land, to reclaim the land for God, not for their own sake, but actually to bring blessing to the whole world. This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave and ancient land to me. And when the morning sun reveals the hills and plains, then I see a land where children can run free. My hand and walk this land with me and walk this lovely land with me. Though I am a when you are by my side, with the help of God, I know I can be strong. So take my hand and walk this land with me, and walk this golden land with me. Though I am just a man, when you are by strong.
Ladies and gentlemen, a pleasure for me to be here this afternoon and talking about peace, something we all want. We want peace inside ourselves. We want peace in our families. We want peace among our neighbors. And we want peace in the world. If you look up on the internet, under the word peace, you will find thousands and thousands of groups of people, smaller or larger, each one with an idea how to create peace, what to do to accomplish peace. Some have their opinion, but everybody is talking about how can we manage, how can we live with each other in peace. In Denmark, if you were speaking English to you, I'd love to speak Danish to you, but maybe Danish and Swedish is not so easy, especially when you speak a little fast. So some of the time, maybe. So I try to do as good as I can in English. We have a Danish philosopher. His name was Søren Kierkegaard. He once said, you live your life forward, but you understand it backwards. So, today, we're living in the present with the future ahead of us. How to understand the present and how to understand the future, even how to make changes in the future, we have to reflect on the past. We have to see our wrongdoings. We have to see where and what we did for mistakes and wrongdoings to each other in history. We cannot pretend that it doesn't matter. And we cannot pretend that when time goes by, everybody will forget and forgive. This is a goal, to forget and forgive. But the word has to be spoken. Unless we create a foundation for forgiveness, unless you ask for forgiveness, unless you speak the words, nothing is going to happen. So I'd like, for a moment, to take you a little back in the Christian history, because within the Christian world, we do not always agree to everything. So we split up in different groups. The historical foundation for Christianity is Jesus Christ. And we can always ask ourselves, why? Why became Jesus that important person to the Christians, to the world, to the Christians? Why did people always follow Jesus, always talk about Jesus, always believe in Jesus? Why has Jesus become the person to us as he has? According to the words of Jesus Christ, he meant to do something wonderful for the people in his land, in his community, even within his family, and within the religion they belong to. But we don't know very much about his younghood. We don't know very much. We know 3.5 years of his life. And on this pilgrim tour to Israel, we visit these places where he lived, where he spoke to people, and where why did he choose his disciples? Some of those later on become the apostles in the Christian, in the beginning of the Christian church. It's interesting to notice the depth of the words of Jesus Christ. He did not come with a big established thing. He came as an ordinary person, as you and I. And he spoke words of peace, of liberty, of hope. He did more. He set a perfect example how to live your life to your community, to your family. According to the Pentecostal Church, we believe that God spoke through Jesus Christ, revealed himself within the person of human flesh and blood to the community and later on to the nations. We believe that God took presence in Jesus Christ. So, we can ask today, what would Jesus Christ do? And according to the Pentecostal Church, you can ask, what would God do to us? What does God want with us and from us? What does God want us to do? Well, what did Jesus do? He spoke words of kindness, of peace, and love, and liberty. He spoke words of reconciliation. Apparently, according to the records, to the established religion at his time, unfortunately, he went to all the wrong people. He spoke to those who were outcast. He gave everything he had to those who had nothing. He prayed and healed people who were sick. And he comforted those who had pain at heart. He made a tremendous impact on his time, on the lives of everybody who was listening to him. Well, he paid a high price for this. Now, I would like to ask you, what wrong did Jesus Christ possibly do? Look at Jesus Christ as the prophet. What possibly wrong did he do? If we had a person in this room, in this country, or in this city, who can come to people and comfort them, who likes to spend all his time listening to the problems they have, who can come and pray and comfort people who are mourning, people who are sick, and heal them, even provide jobs or food for people who has not. Now, what would you do to a person like that? Even if he only had good ideas and suggestions how you could achieve all these things I just mentioned, what would you do to a person like that? Would you kill him? No. I think we would stand in line to invite this person, please. Is it today you come to my house? Is it today it's my turn? There were deep conflicts in the land of Israel at this time. As we have heard and learned today from the lectures given, Israel was split up and influenced by many nations. So people had divided themselves up into various groups, and they certainly did not like each other. And Jesus went to speak to all these people, and they wondered, why you come to speak to me? You're not supposed to speak to me. I'm thinking about the Samaritan woman at the well. But Jesus promised her that if she would consider his behavior and the words he was given, it would become a well of life for her, an abundance of life everlasting. Now this is our inheritance as Christians today. Actually, the first 3 centuries went and the Christianity was established as a national religion. And after that, all our problems started, if I may put it this way. This is our inheritance. Ever since then, Christianity has been split up in smaller and smaller, some larger and smaller parts. And within these parts, I don't think I'm wrong if I say that we do not appreciate each other very much, all of us, in the Christian world. So if you disagree with something, and there's some doctrine and some understanding and so, just split up and make your own group. Now, today, we are actually challenging another factor. Because we are not just split up within the Christianity. We are also living together with other religions. So, now, are we going to repeat the history? Are we going to ask ourselves this question as Christians? Or looking upon Jesus Christ as a prophet, what would Jesus do? Now I've been telling you what Jesus actually did at his time. I don't think Jesus has changed. In the Pentecostal church, we believe he has not changed. So I'm sure that he would go again, once again he would go to all the people would not expect him to call upon them. And again, once and again, his message has not changed. He will speak to people about love, about kindness, comfort people, pray for some people. He will provide food for people. And he would speak about peace. He set the perfect example. And he would set the perfect example once more. He lives today in our community. What we are trying to do, and we should not do, we are trying to establish an imperialistic world religion that everyone else must accept and believe and bow down from. Imperialistic kind of religion. And if people do not join, God will punish them and God will kill them. That has been the dream for many large groups of Christians in history. But I don't see Jesus' words or Jesus' life in an utterance like this. So what will he do? We are going to do what Jesus did today in our community as Christians. We have to consider this. No one can say that I have the only and only one true religion. no one can say that God only loves me and my religion. No one can force anyone to believe that. No one can force anybody under the threat of death penalty if they don't believe this. This is something we have to be sure of. Why? Because God loves all people in the world. We have learned today. We are all the children of God, the one creator. God did not invent religions. God created, and God created mankind. God gave love, and God showed love. And God expects us as his children within his godly family to love each other as we love our Heavenly Father. How can we say that we love God if we don't love our brothers and sisters who are the children of God? It's impossible. We have to think about our position and the situation we're living in. For myself, I did not always belong to the Pentecostal Church. I had, due to circumstances, who was enforced to me, make changes in my life and in my religion. Once I thought that God only loved me and my religious brothers and sisters and my religion, this is a very strong organization, and God was going to keep everybody else but us. Then, one day, I felt God was coming further and further away from me. And one day, I got this idea, I don't know where it came from, that God does not love me anymore. So I said to God, I'm going to love you, I'm going to serve you, even though if you don't want me. At that moment, God showed himself to me. And he says, I love you. I think God wanted to teach me a lesson. So this very strong religious group I belonged to before, they challenged me and they said to me, you cannot be a member of our organization anymore. After that, such a love in my heart came to be to all other people, no matter who they were and what religion they had. So ever since then, my time in the Pentecostal Church, I have been inviting people to my home. Me and my wife, as a family, we've been inviting people of all kinds of religion. Sometimes even strangers we meet and we think they're very kind. We've been inviting them to our home, and we have been cooking dinner for them and sit at the table around with our Christian brothers and sisters from the Pentecostal Church to see what happens. And one day, my wife meets the people from the Family Federation on the street, and she has a little holy wine to drink. And after that, we have been invited people from the Family Federation as well to our home. So now, be careful, if you come to Copenhagen, you please come and visit us, so we will cook dinner for you, we will invite you. I don't care what religion you have and what denomination you go to, all of you are most welcome. Please raise my brothers, their children, and their old people. But I know that we have to do something. I did not think that of myself. When I look in history and try to learn from history what to do, I can see, for example, a small, young French girl, Teresa is her name, take responsibility for the whole country in Bangladesh. And she spent all her life, and she made a great, great difference in this place. Years ago, I read a story in the Reader's Digest about an African woman who was so sorry to see the desert spreading more and more in her country. She did not know what to do. She prayed to God and she got this idea, plant trees. I hope she hears the word from God, plant trees.